Hey, it's Monday. You know what that means. It's weekend update. Unfortunately, my partner Jeremy Roenick is traveling today, but I'm excited to do the show. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot of exciting playoff races going on. We're going to talk about some of the games that went on this weekend, what we've got to look forward to this week. But first, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. JR's Whiskey in the Wild, one of the best whiskeys you'll ever have. You'll have to give that a shout or give that a taste. And also to Bet Online. The tournament is here. It's a crazy weekend. It was a lot of fun to watch. The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for the season for this season with the best brackets contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way throughout the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Thank you very much to BetOnline and also Whiskey in the Wild. Crazy weekend in the National Hockey League, a lot going on. I did want to give a quick shout out to Shane Doan's son, Josh Doan. Shane Doan was a legend in the NHL, played for the Arizona Coyotes, originally for the Phoenix Coyotes. The guy was an absolute warrior when he played. We didn't necessarily hit it off all the time, but this guy, I respected him very much. I respected the game he played. He played it hard nose, had a lot of offensive power as well. But his son Josh played in his first NHL game this past weekend and scored two goals. Got called up from Tucson. The game was in Arizona. And Shane and his wife were there to witness this great event for their family. And I'm really happy for Shane, really happy for Josh, and really happy for the Doan family. So congratulations to Josh Doan on not only scoring one in your first NHL game, but scoring two. That's a remarkable feat. Congrats to Sam Reinhart for now reaching 50 goals along with Auston Matthews. Auston Matthews has now scored 60 goals in his past two seasons. That's an incredible achievement by an incredible player. Auston Matthews is one of the elite players in this league. And 60 goals is tough to do. 50 is tough to do. 40 is tough to do. But to score 60 in twice in his career is a real testament to the talent that this young man is and a testament that the work that he's put in. But now, guess what, Austin? The proof is in the pudding when it comes to the playoffs. And I've been not just critical on Auston Matthews because I love Auston Matthews. I love the Toronto Maple Leafs and a lot of the players on that team. But now it comes down to playoff time. The playoffs, it's April 1st today. It's April Fool's. And the playoffs are starting in a little over 18 days. The regular season's over April 18th, so we have 18 days to go. And that's really when it comes down to whether you're able to back up back up your regular season into the playoffs. Because that Toronto Maple Leafs team needs Auston Matthews firing on all cylinders in order for them to make the playoffs. So congrats to those three guys for the first guys to reach 50 goals. It's a tremendous accomplishment. Few games I want to go over this weekend. One hit close to home here on Saturday night. The St. Louis Blues were home to the San Jose Sharks, arguably the worst team in the National Hockey League. And St. Louis was coming into this playing pretty good hockey. Yes, they were 5 points behind Vegas, and now they're currently 5 points behind the LA Kings. But they win that game Saturday night against the worst team in the NHL, playing at home in St. Louis at the Enterprise Center. And all of a sudden, they're only 3 points out. 3 points with 8, 10, 11 games to go is very doable. And what happened? St. Louis, only I guess it's appropriate since it was Easter, they laid a big egg. They lose 4-0 at home. And quite honest, it was embarrassing. And it's tough to say. I'm a Blues fan. I live here in St. Louis. Friends with a few of the players on their team, the general manager. And it's tough to call them out, but unfortunately it has to happen because you cannot lose that game. And one thing I don't understand with Drew Bannister, the head coach of the St. Louis Blues, he played Joel Hofer. And I understand you have to get your backup in. There's only so many games left throughout the remainder of the season. And Joel Hofer's played some pretty good hockey for the Blues this year. But Jordan Binnington has been on another level this year. Jordan Binnington is, if they were going to give out the most valuable player for each individual team, Jordan Binnington would be that player for the Blues. He has, bar none, been the best player for the Blues. And they started Hofer. He allowed 3 goals on 19 shots. He made 16 saves. They threw 35 shots at Mackenzie Blackwood, the Blues did. But at the end of the day, they lost 3-0. And I think it's pretty safe to say that any chance that the Blues had of making the playoffs are probably done. So another team where they haven't been getting, they weren't getting good goaltending all year, but they have been getting incredible goaltending the last few weeks after they made the trade for Jake Allen from the Montreal Canadiens, is the New Jersey Devils. There's one game on Friday night. I actually played golf with Marty Brodeur on Friday afternoon, and I know he was looking forward to watching that game. And any chance that the Devils had of making the playoffs, they had to beat Buffalo. Buffalo has had a terrible year. They're on a 10 or 12 year rebuild right now, which is embarrassing for that fan base and that organization. And New Jersey goes into Buffalo and they lose 5-2. Really, it's the ship has sailed for the New Jersey Devils. And we'll get into the playoff race in a second. Sticking with Buffalo, I don't know if a lot of you saw on Saturday night, Toronto was in there. Toronto won 3-0 over the Sabres. And two things that stuck out to me during that game, after the game. So if anybody knows, Toronto, the tickets are very expensive in Toronto. And a lot of that's because of corporate sponsorships, and a lot of them these corporations buy the tickets. So the tickets are very expensive. And Buffalo, it's a lot less expensive for Toronto fans to go down and watch games in Buffalo. And I would say a good 70, 80, maybe 90% of the building was cheering for Toronto. It was remarkable. Toronto would score, and it looked like it was a home game. And Dylan Cousins from Buffalo made a comment after the game, and he was taking a shot at his fans. And he said, "I wish our fans traveled the way Toronto fans do." Well, Dylan, I think you're a remarkable player, but that really was a stupid thing to say, because your team has stunk the last few years, and you're lucky to get a full house at the Buffalo, in the Buffalo arena for a home game, because you guys have been so horrendous this year and for the past few years. How do you expect that your fan base to travel and follow you on the road when your team has stunk so bad? So bad take by Dylan Cousins. I understand he probably got caught up in his emotions after the game and so on. But I don't blame the Buffalo fans for not traveling. But during that game, I had to laugh because it was in the last 2 minutes of the game. And there happened to be a get together, if you want to call it. And all 10 players on the ice were hugging each other and holding each other. And somebody on Twitter tweeted out, "There's a brawl going on in Toronto." And I had to laugh because I think I counted 4 or 5 gloves that were on the ice, maybe 2 helmets, and nobody fought. And what really stuck out with me is, you know, Tuck was on the ice and they were taking liberties with him. Alex Tuck, who I love, he's a great player for the Sabres, should be their next captain. And nobody on Buffalo stuck up for him. Like, drop your gloves, fill somebody in, get in a fight, get suspended. Who cares? Your team is not making the playoffs, but show some friggin' emotion and stand up for your teammates. And everybody, almost everybody out of the 10, 12 players on the ice, including the goaltenders, they all primarily had their gloves on. I couldn't believe that. I'm like, and this person that tweeted out there's a brawl, I go, you want to see a brawl? Look up on YouTube and look up the Blackhawks and the Blues back in the day. That was a brawl. This was nothing but a hug fest. And somebody said to me, and they were being sincere, they said, "But Timmy, isn't there a rule that, you know, you can't drop your gloves in the last few minutes of the game?" And I go, "Yeah, it's a new rule. It's called the crazy glue rule. And your gloves are glued onto your hands. Like, give me a break. Our game has changed, but you can still show emotion. You can still stick up for your teammates. We still allow fighting in the NHL." And I think that was a perfect opportunity for a Buffalo player to say, you know what, I've had enough and we're going to stick up for our team. So great games this weekend. I watched Washington play. They were playing, just lost it here. They were playing Boston. It was a great hockey game. Washington needs the points. They're trying to stay ahead of Detroit for that last playoff spot. I think they will stay ahead of Detroit. Detroit, for whatever reason, hasn't wowed me the last month. And that was a team at the trade deadline. I thought Detroit would make the playoffs for sure. But Washington Capitals, which I give Ovi a ton of credit, their goalie, Charlie Sideburns Lindgren, has played exceptional in the past month. He's taken over the starting goaltender's role from Darcy Kemper. They go into Boston. They get a point. They had a chance of getting two. Oh, I was watching the shootout. Ovi's going in on the shootout, and just something told me he's not going to score in this shootout. And I don't know what his stats are, but I bet you they aren't great when it comes to shootout goals. Much like Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky wasn't the best in shootouts penalty shots. And because he didn't play in the era where there was a shootout, but Gretz would tell you he wasn't the best in penalty shots. And I find that amazing that two of the best players to ever play the game, one of their strengths is not penalty shots and or shootout goals. So, but Washington got a very valuable point there. Calgary beat the LA Kings. The LA Kings, if it wasn't for Minnesota shitting the bed the last month, St. Louis falling off, you know, LA Kings, I don't know what to make of them. They're a team that will probably make the playoffs, but I don't see going very far. They lost to Calgary 4-2. Chicago went into Philly, and I would not have wanted to be in that Philly dressing room after the game listening to Torts, because Philly took a ass beating in at home to Chicago, losing 5-1. That is just a game the Flyers cannot lose. And Washington's on their heels. Detroit's on their heels. Philly's in some serious trouble. You know, they're relying on Sam Harrison, their goalie right now, to try to get them into the playoffs. But in all fairness to him, this is a guy that wasn't the projected number one starter. Carter Hart was the number one goalie until he had to step away from the team for issues we're all aware of. Philly signed this big Russian dude. He's 6'7". He's the tallest goaltender ever to play in the NHL. Ivan Fedotov, 6'7". I loved it. His first game, he wasn't playing. He was backing up. He came on the ice, and the Philly fans all stood and gave him a standing ovation. I hope this week we can see him playing a game, because if we can and he wins, he will become an instant hero and folklore in Philly, because that's how they will treat this guy. He's a mammoth of a man. I've seen interviews with him. He looks like he's got a tremendous personality. So I'm hoping he gets in the lineup, because the Philly fans are going to embrace him, and it would be fun to watch. Vegas is starting to look like the team that we thought could possibly win back-to-back Stanley Cups. They're still hurting without having Mark Stone out with a ruptured appendix, but they had a 2-1 win in Minnesota on Saturday, and a lot of people were wondering, criticizing, whatever you want to say, why would John Hines pull the goalie again? John Hines, the coach of the Minnesota Wild, he did it a week ago or 2 weeks ago in overtime because they need the points, and he did it once again. They had a 4-on-3 power or 4-on-3 in overtime, and this time it didn't work out, and Jonathan Marchessault scored an empty netter. And a lot of people didn't know this until he was he did it a few weeks ago. Because he pulled the goalie, the NHL rules states that if you pull your goalie in overtime, you don't get the 1 point. So he was going for the 2 points. I agree 100% with his tactic. They're too far behind to simply get 1 point and be happy with that. And I'm sure we'll see it. We may see it a few more times, especially in the last 18 days of the season. During that game, with 37 seconds to go, Ryan Hartman was high-sticked, and it was missed by the official Brandon Blandina down low. Minnesota would have gone on the power play. They didn't get the power play. The game ends, and Ryan Hartman, who is definitely a hothead, I think he's got some anger management issues, because this guy just loses it, whether it's on players or officials. He threw his stick towards the officials, and it was announced that he is having a hearing today with the Department of Player Safety. He's probably going to get a game or two. If he's having a hearing, it might be more. He crossed that line. There's a difference between abuse or emotion and abuse. It's good to be emotional, but you can't be abusive towards officials. And he's going to pay a price for that, and rightfully so. You cannot be throwing hockey sticks at an official or in the direction of an official. So we'll watch that. I'm sure that announcement will come out soon. Alexander Cernak from the Tampa Bay Lightning, big defenseman. I love the guy. He's tough. He missed a team meeting, and I don't know what to think of that. It was kept very hush-hush by John Cooper, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, but he missed a team meeting, and Coop set him. He didn't play him, and Tampa's in a dogfight for a playoff spot. So I don't know what you were doing the night before that you missed a team meeting, but whatever it was, I hope you had fun, because you really let down your teammates. I'm sure everybody in that dressing room was like, dude, you can't miss a team meeting. Like, we need you in this lineup right now. So that was interesting. Jonas Korpisalo, goaltender for the Ottawa Senators, has been extraordinary lately. He has played just exceptional for the past month. His save percentage, I think, is 930, 940. He's played incredible. And Ottawa's played better as of late because of that. But I hate to put a lot of credence into Ottawa did it a couple years ago. Buffalo did it a couple years ago. Teams that are out of the playoffs, they all of a sudden the last 3 weeks of the season are winning a lot more hockey games, and everyone thinks, okay, this is the team that we thought we'd see, and they get the fans excited and we'll be back next year and so on. I would pump the brakes a little bit on that. I don't think this Ottawa team, I thought Ottawa was a team that could fight for the playoffs. And I was pretty hard on DJ Smith this year. But I think that they have bigger issues with their personnel than I originally thought. Jacques Martin has been the interim coach there. He's not going to be the coach at the beginning of next season. They're going to go out and get somebody. And I think it's time. I plead with the NHL to please let Joel Quenneville back in the league. This is a team that the Ottawa Senators could use. This is a team that the St. Louis Blues could use. This is a team that this is a coach that a lot of the teams could use in the NHL. Joel Quenneville is a tremendous coach. He has admitted to his mistakes. He's never been criminally charged. He's paid his dues. And I think it's time for the NHL to let this man earn a living and coach in the National Hockey League. So we'll see if it happens. It's going to be interesting. We saw the New York Islanders make a coaching change. I didn't necessarily think that Lane Lambert was doing a terrible job, but JR and I both agreed that bringing on Patrick Waugh was a good move, and we were both pumped. We're like, you know what? Patrick's going to get them into the playoffs. And this is just a team that continues to flounder. They've got 77 points. They're 5 points out of a playoff spot, much like the St. Louis Blues being 5 points out. I just don't see the St. Louis or the New York Islanders making the playoffs. And I love Lou Lamoriello. He's the general manager of the Islanders. He's done a tremendous job. He's had a great career. But this is a team they're going to have to reevaluate after the season and see what they need to change. They have been besieged by some injuries, so it'll be interesting to see. Detroit, as I mentioned, fighting for a playoff spot, 2 points behind the Philadelphia Flyers. I just don't have a lot of hope that Detroit is going to pull this out. They're not getting the goaltending that Washington's getting with Alex Lyons in net. And I just don't see Detroit making it. And selfishly, I hope Washington makes it, because I think it would be great for the league to have Ovi in the playoffs. And I'm looking forward to, we got to see a little glimpse of it a few days ago. Boston and Washington, and I'm looking forward, if Boston and Florida meet in the playoffs, this is going to be an absolute war. These two teams do not like each other. It started last year in the playoffs. It's physical. It's mean. You've got Brad Marchand, who's 5'9" on a good day, fighting Mikko Mikkola, who's 6'4" or 5". these teams do not like each other. And then I saw this morning, my good buddy, Pat Maroon, the big rig, he's back to skating. He had some minor back surgery 2 months ago, and he's back to skating. So can you imagine Florida and Boston with the big rig in the lineup? It will be a must watch. It will be so much fun to watch. And I'm hoping that we get to see that, because it would be phenomenal. Dallas Stars won 5 games in a row, playing unbelievable. They are a team that I would not want to play in the playoffs. And right now, I think they would play... I forget off the top of my head, but they are a strong team. They've got it all. They've got offense, defense. They've got great goaltending. And I've mentioned this on previous shows, the Nashville Predators, Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette. To me, Andrew Brunette should be on the list for coach of the year. What he's done with this team, this was a team that nobody picked them. I don't think anybody picked them to make the playoffs. This was a team that was on the rebuild. They had traded a few players. They had brought O'Reilly in, and it looked like a team that was kind of doing a retool and would maybe be back in the playoffs in the next year or two. And the Dallas Stars are playing incredible. Winnipeg Jets kind of falling off lately. But that's still a team that I really like. I love how they're built. They've got scoring. They've got a tremendous defense. They probably have the Conn Smythe winner in Connor Hellebuyck. And that Winnipeg Stadium, when it's full, it seats 14-5 in the playoffs. I've refereed in the playoffs there. It is one of the loudest buildings in the world. It's a tough environment for a team to come into, and I would not want to play the Winnipeg Jets. Let's talk about quickly MacKinnon, Kucherov, and McDavid. MacKinnon's got 127 points. Unbelievable. Kucherov's got 126 points. Unbelievable. And McDavid's got 125 points. It's incredible what these three guys are doing. I watched McDavid just absolutely tear apart Anaheim the other day. I'm sure he was sitting in the dressing room going, boys, we're going to pad the stats today, because it was 5-0 real quick against the Ducks. And I think he had 3 points in that game. It's going to come down to the final game of the year. These guys, they won't publicly say it, but I know the competitive nature from all three of these guys, and each one of them, they want to be able to say that they won the scoring race. So it's going to be a great finish. We've got 18 days of great hockey to be played, and then the playoffs start, and that's when you put your big boy pants on, and that's when the guys that have never thrown a check for 82 games during the regular season, all of a sudden in the first round is the ugliest, dirtiest. It's you're in the trenches, the scrums after the whistle. It is the most fun hockey to watch in the playoffs, because the 8th seed, they feel like they can beat the first seed, and anybody that gets in feels that they can get in. And it happened. It happened a few years ago when the LA Kings got in and were an 8th seed in the Western Conference and went all the ways and won the Stanley Cup. So that's the great thing about hockey, is once you get in, anybody can win. So enjoy it. Put your feet up. Watch the last 3 weeks of hockey, and then we'll get ready to the playoffs. So thank you very much for watching and listening. Shout out to Caffeine TV and Bleav TV, and we'll see you on Wednesday on another episode of Snipes and Stripes. Thank you very much.